Today, well, each Sabbath, because God inhabits the praises of his people. So thank you, Alvin, as a fitting prayer also for our leadership as we stand before you, not in our strength, but in the strength of the Lord. Let's see if the PowerPoint can move along. Last time, we prayed, and through the second half of the 10 days of prayer, we talked about the Lord's Prayer. And you can still download the materials. They're very good. And sing the songs. We looked at this last time, just briefly. And notice the big word, how it starts. What does it say?
Our.
We talked about Father and Father's love today. And some haven't experienced that. But God is the ideal Father. It's the one we all know we wish we had. And thank God for the measure that our fathers lived up to it. But every father falls short. Only God is the perfect father. And if you've lost your father to passing away, God is still your amazing father. Always there, always providing. Jesus, our high priest. So the big word is our, though. It's not just my father. We're a group, the church. And so we not only think of our prayer requests, but when we pray, we address God for all of us. And we pray for one another in our needs. That his kingdom come and his will be done here in Taiwan, in our lives as it is in heaven. We talked about some things here. We'll get into them a little bit later. But it's all for God's honor, God's power, God's glory, not our own. And so we turn our focus in our prayer, not just from me and my needs, but God, what is your plan for this area, for my life, and how can I be part of that, instead of just giving me what I think I need. And we know that God is what? He's for us, not against us. He gave us Jesus. How shall he not, Romans 8 says, with him freely give us all things. So God is for you. If you have an incorrect picture that God is against you and marking your sins and seeing where you come out of line and you say, I'm not worthy to come to church, or that's the devil's trying to hold you back. God gave his son and he's going to do much more. Just come. Just walk willingly and be with him. Our greatest need is not to just receive the gifts. The greatest need is to know God. And then when we know him as the Bible reveals him, as seen in the life of Jesus, then we will pray in his name, believing according to his promise that what he has said will come true. Allowing him for he does give us peace. And may have a different answer that we might not understand at the time, we're not sure about, but he will answer our deepest needs, and the Spirit helps us in our weakness to know what we should even pray for. I want to read this to the side here. To every sincere prayer, an answer will come. Now, it might be no, but that doesn't mean God hasn't heard your prayer, but every sincere prayer. This is messages to young people. Sometimes young people say, oh, why bother to pray? It may not come as you desire in the time you're looking for it, but it will come in the way and at the time you need it most. Best meet your needs. The prayer you offer in loneliness, the times you don't feel like you should pray, that's the time to call. That's the time to call in his name, but also call out to a fellow pastor, an elder, a deacon. Call a friend and say, I need your prayers because I don't feel like praying right now. You offer in loneliness. You offer in weariness, in trial. God answers. Not always according to your expectations. So we've got to temper those expectations. Because maybe we're thinking God's not hearing, but he does. Always for our good. Amen. This one we concluded with last time because we just had a few minutes and we don't have much longer today. But we'll see how far we get. You are the only Bible some will ever read. Do you realize that? If you're reading the Bible, some people aren't picking up books anymore. Books aren't flying off the shelves as they once did. People can access them anytime online, but the problem with that is they don't. They have all kinds of Bible apps and everything for convenience, but are we reading the Bible in 2025? Do we open the pages? Sometimes in the morning I'll wake up and I'll hear my wife breathing next to me, and I'm like, oh, she's breathing. Which is good, but I can't sleep though. So I have to put an earbud in, and so sometimes I listen to God's word in the morning if I can't get back to sleep. So whether you're reading physically or you're listening to it, if you can't sleep, talk to the shepherd. Let the word come into your life, and maybe you'll drift off, maybe you won't, but it's time well spent. Our daily behavior can glorify God and honor him. Or it can dishonor his name and misrepresent the church and negatively affect his work. So we enter God's presence praising him for who he is, our loving Father. Not just about my needs, but focus on him, and then he'll help us to interpret our needs. What's the last message that will go out to this world? A message of God's character. We have to know God. And then share God, show God by our actions, by our words. The last message, the last ray of merciful light, message of mercy to be given to the world is a revelation of God's character of love. The children of God are to manifest his glory, their life and character to reveal what God has done for them. The grace and mercy of God. He's merciful to me, a sinner. And to you, share that. People identify with that. Don't lead with how wonderful you are. Lead with how good God is and how merciful he is to us. I remember, Sister Bull, thank you for those stories. I love early Advent stories. And how God can take, she called herself the weakest of the weak, how he can write through her an incredible truth that is still resonating down, like her great controversy book, is you can read it and think it's today's news. It's still very relevant. So please share that. Go, addition to the Bible, also if you have time, get into Ellen White's books and hear her counsel. She has a compilation. Now, compilations weren't written by her in the order that they are. So some of those are put together by well-meaning people, and you don't have the whole context, but usually they give the reference, and you can go back or online and find the whole picture if it doesn't make sense. So God's character, it's not a judgment notice. It's not for us to go out and tell people they're sinners, although they are. But you can say, God has been merciful to me, a sinner. Take their side and say, I'm like you. I'm no better. But God has mercy on me, and I've accepted His grace. I'm in the kingdom of light. I may disappoint. I may do something that you might say, how can a Christian do that? But keep looking to Jesus. Don't look to me. But the good news that I have received, you can receive it too. And God loves you. Yesu I me. Right? That's all you know in Chinese. Share. Okay? A person whose mind is quiet and satisfied in God is in the pathway to health. You want to be in health? February, we're talking about health. We're going to bring in a speaker, as you know. You want peace? Peace of mind? Strength of body? You used to have your mind quiet and satisfied in God. Take those times. Don't be always so busy. Always doing. Take some time for reflection and meditation on His Word and prayer. That's part of health. It's good to do, but it's better to be. A short one here. Character is power. The silent witness of a true, unselfish, godly life carries an almost irresistible influence. When you have God's character, when you're meditating on Him, you're going to be an influence. You don't have to worry. Should I share my faith? Should I give a testimony? Should I witness? Just come close to Jesus and He'll fill you with that love. You won't help but share the good things He has done for you. God would have us seek those things that honor His name. In no case should we glorify ourselves, but seek God's grace and mercy and spiritual blessings that we may glorify Him, His name, and our characters. When children give in their lives a representation of Christ's character, God is glorified. Notice it's in His name. And that doesn't mean just say in Jesus' name at the end of prayer or in your name. I'm hearing a lot of people say in your name. But if you just say in your name, you're thanking the Father for the Father. Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, use Jesus' name. Don't be afraid. It's the name above all names, the name of power, the name of promise. And we're going to be talking. We have communion. I'm just going to flag you coming up. In 2 weeks, February 8th, we're going to have communion here. And we're going to be talking about Jesus' name above all names. How Jesus is greater. People don't find fault with Jesus. They kill Him, but there's no fault in Him. You can't say there's fault in Christians. That's true. But as we keep looking to Jesus, like the song says, by looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. My friends and my conduct, His likeness will see. Take time to be holy. So use His name. Thank the Lord for Jesus. God so loved. Now don't put them against each other. God so loved, the Father so loved that He gave us His one and only Son. And we are given that. And what did Peter and John say? You know, they said, don't speak that name. He said, we can't help it. This is a name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And they could tell that that boldness did not come from education or for charisma, but they could tell those disciples had been with Jesus. They were fearless. They could boldly share to the people that just put Jesus to death because the Spirit was in them and they had power. And the rulers couldn't say anything. They couldn't they wanted to beat them or put them in prison or let them go, but it didn't matter because they always prayed in Jesus' name. Lives were changed. The crippled were healed. Dead were raised. Amazing things. Believe in Jesus' name. So it's not just saying His name at the end of a prayer, but when we ask, are we wanting to represent His character? James says, we ask and do not receive, because we spend it on our own desires. That's true. And so some of our prayers are selfish. But pray anyway and ask God to change your prayers so that they come off of self and more onto others and His work and His word. So there's three things there. To pray in Christ's name means to accept His character, manifest His spirit, and work His works. Those are beautiful things. I would take a note of that. This is what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Desire of ages. He must what? Increase, and I must decrease. Is that a good prayer? That's a John the Baptist prayer. Not about me. If Jesus is glorified, I am content. I am happy because I'm pointing the light to Him. I don't have any solutions or answers, but Jesus does. If you want to pray, we'll pray. But we'll pray in Jesus' name, and I'll point you to Him and His promises, and He's the one who can solve things I have no idea about. Jesus promised to answer our prayers if we ask in His name, within His will, and something that will glorify and honor God. When we complain, now I'm going to step on toes, we complain about what? God is not good? We give the wrong message. He doesn't keep His promises when we complain and doubt. Yes, we rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything we give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5. I just chose 17. A very short verse today, but there's so much more around it. To pray without ceasing. It begins with rejoicing. And Jesus says, whatever you ask, you present your requests with thanksgiving. Talk, pray, believe, behave in a way that would honor God. How can you inspire faith when you doubt? How can you ask others to praise God when we complain? So let's have a positive attitude, not just superficial positive thinking here. I'm talking about deep believing that God is working out His purposes, as Elder Pierre led us in prayer. What is God doing that you haven't got an answer for? It hasn't worked out yet. Can we pray saying, my prayer is in process? That's true for my health. And thank you, Sister Maria, for praying. Every day she sends me a message. I prayed for you today, Pastor. Will we pray for one another, holding up each other's hands? I called my mother last night. She's, if you want to pray for her, I appreciate that. My dear mother, 85, and she's despairing a little bit. She's had this cough, and when my mom gets a cough, it just goes so deep and racks her little frame. She's been coughing, her back is sore, she's trying to get over this. She went to the doctor, can't seem to get relief. So my dad also had a little bit of that, and so she asked for prayer. So lift my mother up in prayer. I have a little bit of cold symptoms too. So I'm wearing a mask and I'm trying not to spread or give this illness. It's difficult. And if you don't have an immunity, my body has to relearn all these different bugs. And so I've been a little bit under the weather for a couple of months. But on Sabbath day, I'll tell you, God lifts me up. God gives me strength and I praise His name. Because it's His word that I want to get out. And I claim health in Jesus' name. I am getting better, and I will be getting better. I'm only seeing the doctor every 6 weeks now, and no medication. Praise God. I had lymphoma that was made my neck twice the size in 2023, January, 2 years ago. I'm still here. I might not be here next month, but God has sustained me to this day, and that's all I have. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Because God is real. And so I rejoice. And so you focus on those things that lift Him up and focus on the answers that you have received that have strengthened your faith. And share those. Yeah, there's things in process. That's okay. If I'm doubting or unbelieving, say, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Bring me up. But you don't share your unbeliefs. You share the faith. Share the promise. And then that, as you hear it, as you say it, you will hear it. And it will reinforce your faith. Pray, talk, behave in a way that would honor God. Amen. He must become greater. Jesus' name, it says in Philippians, at His name every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. So we got to start that now. So that people can say, they'll know what to say in that day. When they bow their knee and say, oh, I heard about Jesus. Some have not heard. and or have not heard in a way that shows the true compassion and mercy and grace of God, I must become less this year. It's not about us. It's about our God. How great is our God. I like the story. And let's just turn there for a minute. In Luke 19, it's the story of Zacchaeus. Little guy. We sing about him in Sabbath school, don't we? But despite his short stature, he was a troublesome character. And people didn't like to be known as a friend of Zacchaeus. He was a bad guy. He would take people's money and give some to Rome, and everybody hated that. And he would probably skim off some for himself. Can salvation come to a guy like that? Okay? If it was up to the religious rulers, they'd say, you're lost forever. You're cheating your own people and profiting at our expense. But he wanted to see Jesus because he heard that Jesus was different. And he couldn't even get through the crowd. Nobody would park for him. He had to climb a tree, right? Jesus is coming this way. I just want to see him. Did Jesus know Zacchaeus?
Yeah.
Yes! He looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I have a dinner at your house tonight. He's like, what? Oh, okay. Good. And he said, this man too is a son of Abraham. This man too called out his true identity. And after he affirmed him, then Zacchaeus said, you know, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. He didn't condemn him. He could have condemned him. He knew all the ways that Zacchaeus committed offenses. But he didn't call that out. He just says, today salvation has come to this house. Why is that? Because salvation is not just a life eternal. Salvation is when Jesus visits your house. Jesus is coming to this house today. Salvation has come to this house. Because I am there. I am. Is going to dine with Zacchaeus, chief of sinners. So what does he say? Oh Lord, how can this be? You're coming to my house? I'm not worthy. Let's give away some money. I know I've cheated a lot of people. Half of my goods. That was after Jesus affirmed him. After he said, this man is a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus is now wanting to be what Jesus called him to be. And so he says, if I cheated anyone, he says this publicly, if I cheated anyone, I'm going to pay back four times the amount that I have cheated. You come see me. Here's my accountant. Let's sign up and we're going to make it right. Because his life was changed. He couldn't keep on living in that situation. Salvation had come to his house. Changes had to be made. Zacchaeus is a new person. He was the chief tax collector. He just wasn't the low guy. He was the top criminal in the neighborhood in Jericho. So, wow. Zacchaeus, I must be a guest in your home today. That's, everyone else is like, Jesus is going to a notorious sinner. They're grumbling. And Zacchaeus talks about his reformation. And Jesus says, salvation, verse 9, has come to this home today. This man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and save who? The lost. Do you feel lost? Do you feel like you're confused? You're not sure which way to go? Jesus came for you. Do you have any friends, family, young people that are lost around you? Jesus came for them. And so you, I maybe misspoke that Zacchaeus reformed before, like in Jesus' name. Jesus encountered with him and invitation. He invited himself to Zacchaeus' place. That was enough for him to reform. He's like, my house is not worthy, but if Jesus wants to come, I've got to be a different person. So accept him first, and then worry about life changes. You'll know what to do. Don't worry about what to give up for the kingdom of God. What you gain will tell you what to give up, because you'll gain something so much more precious. When you gain Jesus, salvation has come to this house. Amen. Before we can enter God's kingdom must enter us. If we're wanting to go to heaven, heaven must be where we are. That means Jesus must be where we are. So don't worry so much about future. Worry about today. Is my life in the hand of Jesus? And he prayed, Jesus' prayer, not that we would be taken out of the world, but that we'll be faithful in the world. I pray for these. Protect them from the evil one. So we talk about the Lord's Prayer in Matthew and Luke, but John actually has the prayer that Jesus prayed for his followers before he left them, John 17. Start reading some of those beautiful prayers that Jesus prayed, that the prophets prayed. Receive salvation into your house, and then live like it. Where our treasure is, what? There's the heart. So what are we looking for? What are we desiring? And that's the thing that we need to be praying about. We will. Our life shows what we desire, what we're searching for, because we will find it, good or bad. Okay? Learn to live as we would already in heaven. If we focus on God and His kingdom will move in and around us. So our focus is the invisible world, expressing the peace of God, carrying with them the soft and genial atmosphere of heaven. Has His grace softened my character, where I'm still sharp and critical, and I'll give them a piece of my mind? I don't think that's what He's calling for in 2025. Gentleness? Mercy? That might not seem like very manly characteristics, but in Christ, you can be strong in His strength, and gentle in His gentleness. Meek in His meekness. Medical ministry. Do you have a passport? Let you come and go? Are we citizens of heaven, or are we citizens primarily of Taiwan or the host country, the country we came from? We need to be living like citizens of heaven today. Who needs a listening ear? Who needs a warm meal and clothes for their children? Who needs to hear about the grace of God and transforming power? Lord, what? Speak to our hearts and plant your kingdom in our lives. Amen. Just say with me, today, salvation has come to this house. You believe that? We meet in Jesus' name. We meet on His special day. We've sung praises. We've given gifts. He plans to meet with us. That's so exciting. Our lives can change when we know Jesus wants to be with us and meet with us. And then, of course, it has to extend. Salvation doesn't, like the woman at the well, it's not just about saving one. It's about who through them can reach their community. And that woman was a key. We say a lot of bad about her, but her life transformed was a key to that whole community. And when she said, come, see a person, see a man who told me all I ever did, they're like, let's go. She didn't say, you know, a full doctrinal beliefs of how she thinks the Messiah should be. She's like, my life has changed. You've got to see this guy. Okay. So it doesn't have to take a long time. Preparation. Just ask a question. It's better questions than statements. There it is again. Give what? Us this day our daily bread. When we're praying for nourishment, sustenance, for God's grace, it's not just for me, but like the woman at the well, it comes, refreshes my soul, and will be a blessing to others. The Bible is clear. We have to love others as much as we love ourselves and pray for others. Give us this day our daily bread. And sharing is caring. It's not just selfish for our own benefit. Ask that we may give. Yes. The principle of Christ's life must be the principle of our lives. Ask for blessings that we may share them with others. The capacity. As we give, more we'll have more room to receive. And God will continue that cycle. If it doesn't stop with us, it's going to continue, and God will bless more as we share. We cannot continue to receive heavenly treasure without communicating and sharing, I would say, to those around us with Christ's God's blessings. I've taken these quotes from the 10 days of prayer. This, and I could ask some of you what your highlight was, but I picked out some of these quotations that I appreciate. It doesn't just talk about our bread for tomorrow, does it? It's today's bread. And that's why there's even a little booklet called Our Daily Bread. That's getting into the Word of God for that day. You can't just skip meals and eat once a week. Same with our spiritual life. We have to have that daily connection, that daily hunger, and it will be satisfied. Don't worry about tomorrow. Ask for today. Ask to share. Seek to bless.
Before Christ's followers preach, they should demonstrate their love for God by being a blessing to those around us. I'm going to pray this prayer here on the screen. Father, sometimes ministry makes us exhausted. We focus too much on plans and results. We forget you are the source of all strength. Please turn our eyes toward you. Revive our spirits and fill us with your inexhaustible love for a needy world. Talked about that love in Sabbath school, didn't we? God, give us what? Your eyes to see opportunities for service. Show us how we can demonstrate love to our children, spouses, neighbors, fellow church members. We're glad to be part of this family of God. Dysfunctional, yes. From everywhere, yes. High, low, rich, poor. Doesn't matter. We're equal at the feet of Christ. And we've come here to Taiwan for a purpose, for a reason. We're visiting. Visitors come every week. There's often someone that's never been here before. What do they see here? Are they going to come back? Are they going to tell their friends? Oh, Jesus is, the Spirit is moving. Jesus' love is seen in the church members there in new life. Now, forgive us. What? Also, as we... it seems almost conditional. If we have been forgiven, it necessitates that we extend that to other people. We can't just say, thank you, God, for forgiving me in the hell of the world. Okay? No. I have to take it justice. No offense. If it's against me, God allow it. So, I forgive. It's not... my life has been ransomed. It's been paid for. Not even my life. So you can't hurt me particularly because my life is hidden in Christ and God. Right? So we're shielded. And so we can afford to forgive because we don't have to carry injustice and it will kill us anyway. Freely we have received. Freely give. Freely we receive forgiveness from God. We must extend that. The Bible is clear. And we might say, how do I feel? I don't feel forgiven. In the reading, we had this 90-year-old lady in the hospital, and the pastor goes to visit her. And she was even an excuse me, an elder in the church. Mercy. And she said, Pastor, don't pray for me. I'm lost. He's like, what? What are you talking about? He says, I did something back when I was a child. And I've asked God, have you asked God for forgiveness? Yes, every day. He's like, well, then you're forgiven. She's like, but I don't feel forgiven. Well, what is feeling forgiven anyway? Okay? You believe it because God said, if we confess, He will forgive. He is the faithful one, and He's also just. So, yes, there may be consequences, but share, I am forgiven, and believe it, because God doesn't lie. And so when we feel forgiven, we can communicate that to others. And if we have leaders in our church who don't know that they're forgiven, help us, Lord, to believe His word and go forward in faith. How can we share with others the good news if it hasn't transformed our life? It doesn't say He forgives just small sins, does it? For a limited time, all sins. We must confess and forsake, I would say. He's not asking us to keep confessing and keep repeating. He wants us to try some new paths. Stop some doors, block some pathways and avenues that the devil has access. Okay? Confess and forsake. The promise is God forgives. Amen. So it's faith over feeling. My Christianity is not based on if I wake up feeling happy and healthy. God is faithful regardless. Even if I don't feel well, God can still be glorified. And I choose. Yes, I'm a sinner. I can't atone for my sins. I can't change my heart even. I can't make myself feel or be holy. But God promises to do all this for you through Christ. Do you believe the promise? Amen. If you believe it, God supplies the fact. Don't wait to feel you are made whole, but say, I believe. It is so, not because I feel it, because God has promised. Get the book Steps to Christ to start to look at that. Incredible truth. She even says you don't need to repent to come to Christ. Isn't that credible? Is that heretical? You don't have to repent to come to Christ. How can you feel sorry for something you wanted to do? Right? You got to come as you are. And the goodness of God leads you to repentance. You can't
You can't make yourself right by doing some things, even confessing. How do you know that you did wrong? God has to bring that conviction to your heart. So, believe the promise, God supplies the fact. Don't wait for the feeling, and just say it out loud, believe it. And God supplies the fact. Just like the crook, John 5, right? He's sitting there for 38 years, the most helpless case.
And Jesus comes to him and asks him one question. Do you want to be well?
But no, nobody's helping me. People are getting in front of me when I go for my healing. Jesus said, I didn't ask that. Do you want to be well? And so, he agrees. After all those years of complaining and sitting next to the pool and watching others run away with their healing, supposedly. I don't think God works that way, by the way. He doesn't heal the fittest, the most able to get to the pool. He goes to look for the one that can't get to the pool. And he says, I have healing for you today. You want it? We always have a free choice. We can say, get lost. I'm miserable here and you're making it worse. Or we can say, yes. Help my unbelief. And the man got up to his feet that he hadn't walked on in years. 38 years! And it was the Sabbath. And Jesus says, Sabbath is a day of liberation. Pick up your mat. Go home. You're not coming back here. This is not your home. You've been here far too long by this pool that offers nothing. I'm offering you a new life. Don't wait to feel whole, but believe it. It is so, not because I feel it, but because God has promised. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. As you believe, God works, and you are forgiven. Don't try to explain it or deserve it. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Through his simple act of believing God, the Holy Spirit begets a new life in your heart. You are as a child born into the family of God, and he loves you. What? Do you see that? He loves you as he loves his son. Why? Because you're in Christ. You're there. When God accepted Jesus' sacrifice and received him back into heaven, that's you. Jesus' resurrection is your resurrection. His perfect life is your perfect life. Wow. Forgiveness, righteousness, salvation, they're all received as a?
Yes.
As a what?
Yes.
A gift that has no returns.
You receive it. You ask. You say thank you. You don't have to deserve it. You are transformed by him and will be a new creature. The time is up, but I've enjoyed sharing these few thoughts with you. There are more, but just be blessed and take comfort in these words. Take encouragement. Maybe there's something this year that needs to change in your life. Don't hang on to it or wait for a better day. Today is a day of salvation. Anyone hear good news today? Anyone believe it? Anyone can share it, right? Just take a simple track. Take a simple promise. Let it be true in your life. Meditate on it. Pray on it. And say, God, help me share this with someone who needs this hope today. In Jesus' name.